Producer Kathleen Kennedy and her husband, the producer-director Frank Marshall, made their names by helping Steven Spielberg make his movies. Kennedy ran Spielberg's company Amblin and produced such films as Jurassic Park, E.T., and Hook. Marshall started directing in 1990 with Arachnophobia and then went on to make Alive in 1993. Now Kennedy and Marshall have a new company for which Marshall has just directed a new movie adapted from a Michael Crichton novel. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review of Congo.
Michael Crichton has never been thought of as a reactionary philosopher, but his novels do have a consistent message, that if you're the sort of touchy-feely, left-of-center type who thinks that differences among natural enemies can be repaired and that we can all learn to live together with nature in a happy, healthy world, well, be afraid. Be very afraid. To Crichton, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, no matter who they happen to be. His book Rising Sun says that while we're trying to talk things over with the Japanese, they're plotting our downfall. Disclosure says that as men finally give women a place in the corporate hierarchy, the women are plotting the men's downfall. And books like The Andromeda Strain, Jurassic Park, and Congo all say that if you try to apply sweet reason to Mother Nature, Mother Nature will fight back with a fury you never imagined. Congo is the weakest of Crichton's stories, and it's the weakest of all the Crichton movies as well. As in Jurassic Park, an ill-assorted crew is descending into the jungle for an encounter with the unknown. In this case, there's an American primatologist, played by Dylan Walsh, who wants to return his brainy gorilla, Amy, to her African home. There's a communications whiz, played by Laura Linney. Her company has found some remarkably pure diamonds in the jungle, and they want to make super lasers out of them, only now the team that found the diamonds has disappeared. Along for the ride is a mysterious Romanian, played by Tim Curry with an even more mysterious accent. He thinks the diamonds come from the long-lost King Solomon's mine, and he tends to get a little carried away talking about them.
First they found the diamonds. Solomon's men. A diamond mine of incredible bounty. Then they built the city around the mine so that it should be protected. The savagery of the guards was a legend. They instantly fell upon any thief, any transgressor. And the diamonds flowed to the kingdom of Solomon.
Well, what happened? Why did the city die?
I don't know.
Maybe the mines ran dry.
No, no! The diamonds are here!
Anyone who's seen the inept trailer already knows virtually everything that happens in the movie. But suffice it to say that after a long and humdrum journey into the jungle, complete with spooky tribesmen and killer hippos, the movie arrives at a long and humdrum climax. With the exception of Tim Curry, who badly needs reining in, the actors are low on both voltage and charisma, and the more imperiled they are, the harder it is to root for their escape. The film's most likable character is Amy, whom the press kit tries to palm off as a real gorilla, but whose secret identity as a gorilla suit with a tiny gymnast inside is apparent from the moment you first see her. In fact, the special effects in this movie leave a lot to be desired. Fake lava technology especially seems not to have advanced since Journey to the Center of the Earth. It's hard to imagine how Congo could ever have struck anyone as a good idea for a movie, unless, like Kennedy and Marshall, you had watched Jurassic Park strike it rich and figured that anything you pulled out of King Crichton's mine would turn out to be diamonds.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.